Hey, good evening, everybody. We are back with Diddy updates on the news. And we've got a lot to talk about. We've got Liam Payne news. And then we've got the Trump freedom of speech announcement, which absolutely increases my job security tremendously. We're going to take a close look at that. Because it's huge what he said about misinformation and shadow banning and the free letter agencies. They can no longer just jump from a free letter agencies to a social media platform and shadow ban people without giving reasons and give appeals to people who are shadow banned and cite the reasons. Honestly, watching that speech by Trump made my day. Doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. Freedom of speech is a huge issue for me and my colleagues. With everything we've been through, getting kicked off various platforms and shadow banned to this day, still on Facebook. Thanks, Zuck. All right, so we're going to start out with the Diddy news. We'll do the Liam Payne news, and then we'll get into the Trump freedom of speech. So, latest Diddy news today is that his disgusting $500,000 freak-off room decor was revealed. And I'm going to say carnal relations everywhere you looked. So, one of his planners has come forward to describe the decor of the spaces in his mansion, saying the walls and ceilings were covered with hundreds of mirrors so that he could take in the scenes from every angle. This was in the New York Post. Everywhere you looked, you'd see yourself reflected again and again, the planner said, but wanted to remain anonymous because people are still well afraid of Diddy. Even though he's behind bars, they feel he has reach. Often his parties would turn into large you-know-whats, which would last for several days. And here's a quote from the planner. You can imagine what it would look like when people are nude and having carnal relations on the floor, on the couches, wherever. And this planner is saying that the person worked with Diddy in the early to mid 2000s. Quote, it was definitely a vibe he wanted to put out there, that everywhere you looked, there would be carnal relations happening. It was wall to wall debauchery. When it came to the cost, the planner said that Diddy spared no expense for the extravagant events. All he would ask was, is it going to be a great party? If the answer was yes, he was willing to pay. She said that each party cost $500,000. Wow. Quote, this is for both the mainstream part and then the carnal party afterwards. Great food, expensive alcohol, dancers, acrobats, models. Sometimes we had live animals. Sometimes different performers. It's all added up, but he didn't care. Well, we've had guests on talking about animals on leashes, such as lions and tigers, females in cages. And if you've just tuned in, I see we've almost got 1,000 watching across all the platforms. We're doing Diddy news, we're doing Liam Payne news, and one of the alleged dealers in the Liam Payne case has done an exclusive interview and dropped an absolute bombshell that I'm going to play translated from Spanish. And then we're going to get into Trump's freedom of speech speech. All right, so days after the freak-offs, the mirrors would be removed and the mansion would return to its usual state, the planner said. She explained that she was hired to arrange the food, alcohol, entertainment, and decor, but had no say in the guest list or the carnal aspects. Quote, he was hiring both men and women who call themselves models but it seemed obvious, at least to me, that they were actually ladies of the night, or men of the night, the planner said. You know, Jonathan Oddy claimed he was a man of the night, a slave to Diddy. Quote, but that wasn't my role. That would be the role of a member of his team. I just handled the mainstream stuff. Now, cease and desist are flying everywhere. So we've always got to add onto these interviews that Diddy is maintaining that he is wrongfully accused and that the parties, although they were sordid, were all consensual. Yes. And we've got Jaguar Wright coming on in 45 minutes for round two with Courtney Burgess, who was before the grand jury last week, claiming that he had seen videos kept by Diddy's ex, Kim Porter, of major celebrities being victimized at the parties. Put one in the chat if you saw Jaguar versus Courtney Burgess round one last week. If you did, you know what's coming. It's going to get absolutely bonkers tonight. Put a two in the chat if you didn't see it. If you didn't see it, get ready. Mostly ones, nearly all ones. Twos, oh my goodness, you don't know what's about to happen. I think it would be excessive to have Chris Todd and Courtney and Jaguar all on the same night. But our most demanded video right now is Jaguar Wright on with Chris Todd. And I'm going to ask Shane to see if he can arrange that. If Chris Todd is watching, send me an email if you are indeed up for that. Beverly the Psychic has also asked to come on with Jaguar at some point. And Beverly the Psychic is back on for episode 3 from Diddy in the club, 7 p.m. UK tomorrow. Beverly is back. She's one of our most demanded guests. Anyway, Courtney Burgess is quite a character. He's coming back on tonight. And he was in front of the grand jury. And he's going back to the grand jury for a second time. He has claimed that his tapes show at least two male stars who were underage at the time. And Busby is dropping lawsuits left and right. But the other big news that's come out in the last day on the Diddy case is that Diddy is asking for bail yet again, and his lawyers are citing other similar cases where defendants have been released. Now, we said at the beginning, there are many parallels with the Epstein case. And when Ghislaine Maxwell was busted at her hideout, her mansion, she went through the same thing. And I think it's just lawyers racking up legal bills. These guys don't have a prayer of getting out on bail. I don't see him getting out on bail. But the more billable hours the lawyers can rack up, the more they can fleece the clients slash victims. And Diddy's lawyers are asking for bail again, just a month after being denied in previous attempts. But this time they are citing similar cases in which defendants have been released. Like, that is going to help. Yeah, good luck. Pray for that, lawyers. So he filed a new motion on Friday in another attempt to get out of jail while awaiting his trial just days after being heard for the first time on a prison call with his kids. According to legal documents from TMZ, his lawyers are offering a comprehensive bail package, which includes a $50 million bond in addition to 24-hour surveillance in order to ensure he doesn't try to flee the country or intimidate witnesses. I think they've offered that previously and it got declined. However, this time is different because they are citing other cases where they say defendants accused of similar crimes are being allowed to post bail while awaiting trial. One of the examples used on the entertainment site include a case involving a CEO in which they were accused of carnal transportation of dozens of young men, along with an accomplice who had intimidated witnesses. Diddy's lawyers are now arguing that the government had asked for 10 million bond and 500,000 bond, respectively, which was less than the 50 million bail package they are offering in this case. His attorneys are also saying that he has been locked up in MDC Brooklyn throughout the process. As a judge ruled, the government has proven the defendant is a danger. He is a danger, allegedly. People are scared to speak to us because of his reach to the streets. And earlier this week, he broke his silence from behind bars as his kids called to wish him a happy 55th birthday on Monday. And we covered that one earlier in the week. And I've had a few days off, folks, because my partner Jen's grandfather sadly died, and he was very instrumental in raising Jen. Some of you may have seen during the interview with Perez Hilton. Unfortunately, I had to leave in a hurry, and that was the reason why. I thought it was to do with baby Ziggy because I heard Jen scream, but it was to do with her grandfather dying. So much love for Jen. Thank you for any support coming in as she goes through this time. Grieving, and you know, I went through that with Wild Man, and I know how it comes in waves, and it's really painful when someone you loved like that, and someone that's been in your life for so long, they're no longer there. The brain can't compute, can they? The brain's like, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. All right, so it was the happy birthday stuff, tra-la-la with Diddy. That was the other news. Diddy saying how much he loved all y'all, etc. And that came on the top of the 13-year-old. The allegations of the night he was with J-Lo. And there's much more going on with J-Lo. And God bless the woman who was at the nightclub, who's alleging that Diddy shot her in the face. She's been on the channel for the past couple of days. And what a strong woman with a phenomenal story that deserves to be heard. And this whole case needs to be investigated. The nightclub shooting needs to be investigated. And J-Lo, if she allegedly lied on the stand, needs to be held to account. And then J-Lo was with Diddy the night of the R word with the 13-year-old with the crazed look in his eyes. And the allegation from that lawsuit is there was two celebs present, including a female. It would be very interesting to find out if one of them was allegedly J-Lo. All right, I've got one more Diddy story before we go up to the Liam Payne. And with Liam Payne, we're going to get into what this dealer is saying. And it's blew my mind when I heard it today. I imagine not many of you have heard it because it's only just been translated from Spanish to English. In fact, I'll do a poll. Put a one in the chat if you've heard the interview with the dealer, Liam Payne's dealer, in Spanish, and what he says. Put a one in the chat. If you've not heard it, put a two. But before we get to the Liam Payne news, we have got former associate of Diddy and Biggie Smalls speaks out. Yeah, it looks like nearly all twos, a couple of ones. This one's in the mail. And they've been looking at the freak-off video evidence, allegations. And they've done an interview with Dion Best, a.k.a. D1. Best is a former member of the Crips, based in LA's mid Wilshire area, known as the Mansfield Crips. Best was one of the people Diddy called on in the late 90s when he would come to LA and needed protection due to his ongoing beef with Shug and the Bloods. Didn't get protection for Tupac though, did you? And for Biggie. Fed them to the wolves, monetized the beef. Allegedly. Best also managed a handful of hip-hop artists and signed a few to Bad Boy before he ended up going to prison. Yeah, my theory is that Diddy monetized the hell out of that beef and let these things progress to the unaliving of these two rap phenomenons. Something that if you've looked at the brilliant research, and she's such an eloquent speaker as well, Rotten Mango, her video about 13 people who've died around Diddy. I'm hooked on Rotten Mango right now. She's getting millions of views on her videos. So Best has now been out of the gang life for many years and leads a football league for kids in LA. He talked to the Mail about his friendship with Biggie and the potential lawsuit against Diddy's mother, Janice Combs. All right, let's see. What's he said about this? Oh, it's a video, isn't it, that you got to watch. This week we're going to look at. All right. So, that one, they're saying what's about to come out, basically. So we don't know what this guy's going to say yet. This is a podcast that's coming out on the Mail in the coming few days. All right. Before we go over to Trump's freedom of speech, we need to look at the latest Liam Payne news. And before I get to the bombshell, what the deal has said, let's look at the backstory first about Liam Payne and these guys getting arrested now and all this stuff. All this new stuff coming out. Because when these things go down, you never know, you know, what to trust with mainstream media. Let me get a Liam Payne picture up in honor of him. Let's have a look. If it starts, if it, as long as it doesn't start wobbling, I'll keep it up there. Well, we'll go over the story. But this allegation from the dealers, really shocking, actually. All right, let me see. Hotel worker. Here we go. So the hotel worker and dealer are arrested in the Liam Payne case. And the pair are accused of supplying him with substances before the balcony fall, as his wealthy friend denies he's the third arrested man. So this has happened in recent days. Police in Argentina believe they have uncovered dealing at the hotel where he fell to his death. Well, that's no surprise, is it? We already know that. From the third floor, a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old have been named overnight by the respected Argentine news website InfoBay as two of the three arrested suspects. They are accused of supplying Liam with substances, while a third is under investigation for abandoning a person who subsequently died. The publication described the 21-year-old from Ingeniero on the outskirts of Buenos Aires as an employee of the Casa Sur Palermo Hotel, accused of having supplied the white to Liam on at least two occasions. The 24-year-old is from a suburb southeast of the city center. He's also allegedly supplied substances to Liam in the days before his death. The singer's close friend, Norez, has denied that he's the third suspect and said to the Mail last night that he would never have abandoned the star. Prosecutors have made it clear that any idea that Liam had committed unaliving had been ruled out. Well, and said he was in a state of semi or total unconsciousness as he fell to his death when he didn't know what he was doing. But there's also allegations that there were people in the room. So how could they let him do that? And there was also a theory that, you know, he didn't pay the ladies of the night and there was a dispute. And these ladies of the night have been brought in for questioning as well. So we'll get to that. But it gets even stranger when we hear what the dealers just said, which I'm going to play shortly. Tests have shown the 31-year-old binged on alcohol and the white powder before he died and also had traces of an antidepressant in his system. Prosecutors in the Argentine capital said last night that they had requested the arrests of three men as part of their ongoing investigation into Liam's death. But it was reported early this morning in Argentina that they were not at home when the cops arrived to detain them and search their homes. They are now on bail after subsequently handing themselves in and avoiding a formal arrest. The bail conditions are understood to include a travel ban and the obligation to sign on at court once a week. Prosecutors have yet to confirm any bail arrangements. The three men are now being formally investigated on suspicion of abandoning a person who subsequently died and supplying and facilitating substances. The statement described one as the person who routinely accompanied Liam during his stay in Buenos Aires. They said of the hotel worker and the dealer, the second suspect is a hotel employee who must respond for two proven supplies of white powder to Liam during the time he was in the hotel. The third is also a dealer who is being investigated on suspicion of another two clearly proven supplying of white at two different times on October the 14th. Any formal charges under Argentinian law will be laid out at a later date after written indictments are submitted. Liam's close friend, Norez, last night denied abandoning Liam in the hours leading up to his death. Speaking exclusively to the Mail, Norez, also known as Roger, denied being a suspect in the 31-year-old's death and rubbished claims that the cops had raided his home in Buenos Aires. A description given by the authorities appeared to indicate Norez, who had accompanied Liam in the days before he died, had been charged with abandoning a person followed by death. The individual in question has also been charged with being complicit in the supply of substances, both crimes punishable by a prison sentence of up to 15 years on conviction. But Norris has slammed claims that he was under investigation in an emotional statement. Quote, I never abandoned Liam. I went to his hotel three times that day and left 40 minutes before this happened. There were over 15 people at the hotel lobby chatting and joking with him when I left. I could have never imagined something like this would happen. I've given my statement to the prosecutor on October the 17th as a witness, and I haven't spoken to any police officer or prosecutor ever since. I wasn't Liam's manager. He was just my very dear friend. And please refer to the email I sent to him and his team on August the 23rd. I'm really heartbroken with this tragedy, and I've been missing my friend every day. So this all comes after Liam fell from the third floor on October 16th. In the third official statement released since the star's death, the prosecutors revealed only alcohol, the white powder, and an antidepressant were found in his system. Because in the beginning, they speculated there was a lot more stuff. Because the wraps and the paraphernalia in the room, there was a lot more stuff going on for somebody or other on that occasion. So despite previous speculation, they have now ruled out that he took his own life after falling from the balcony, which then leaves the possible two outcomes: that he was so inebriated he just fell over. But if there was other people there, how would they let him get to that position? And the other alternative is that he was pushed. And, you know, there was a conflict with the ladies of the night. They weren't paid. You know, did they call someone to try and enforce? And Liam was saying he didn't have cash, because he didn't have cash. We know that. The statement from the investigation led by the prosecutor confirmed unlawful conduct was discovered in relation to his death. The statement read, three people were charged with the crimes of abandonment of a person followed by death. So if they abandoned him after he died, there was three people present. Surely that's what that means. Were these people friends or foes? Supply and facilitation of substances. From the beginning of the investigation, within a few days, exhaustive and meticulous actions and measures were carried out to clarify the circumstances surrounding the death of the artist. So we know one was a dealer. We know one was hotel staff. There was speculation that the third was this close person. But now we don't know who the third is, because the close person is denying it. So could the third person have been a foe? So the prosecution is divulging that 18 hours of CCTV footage was examined, as well as several dozen statements having been received from hotel staff, family, friends, and medical professionals. They have analyzed his mobile phone, as well as the hotel guest registry, as well as bar and restaurant orders. They confirmed that necessary pathological and laboratory studies were carried out and completed during the post-mortem. And the statement has continued, as a result of the evidence gathered and after analyzing the various bodies of evidence and numerous documentary annexes and the background of the case, the prosecutors formally charged three people, requesting their indictment and detention in a 180-page report. 180-page report. Wow. Presented last Friday before Judge Bruniard. They confirmed that an individual accompanied the artist on a daily basis during his stay has been charged with abandonment of a person followed by his death. All right, so that's not a foe. The person in question has also been charged with the supply and facilitation of substances. That's the first one. Has also got those charges. The second defendant is a hotel worker charged with supply of the white during the periods at the hotel. The third has been charged with supply. So it sounds like hotel employee and two dealers. But sometimes dealers do facilitate ladies of the night. So who knows if there was a beef over that. Well, we know there was a beef earlier, but whether that beef continued, you know, to include these people. The third person who has been charged, substances. All right. So this comes as police are investigating. They've raided the homes of the two hotel employees and a friend of the former. Toxicology reports already communicated with Liam's family reveal he had consumed substances, the white, and an antidepressant. Autopsy carried out by Forensic Medical Corps concluded polytraumatisms and internal and external hemorrhage was the actual cause of the death. The injuries were compatible with those produced by a fall from a height, and that self-injury of any kind has been ruled out. The post-mortem findings also deduced that Liam may have fallen whilst in a state of semi or total unconsciousness. If you're totally unconscious, how do you get... All right, I've got a friend, right? Most of my friends who I partied with in Arizona are dead. And I had a friend called Jerry, also known as the Prophet. And he did die in a state of unconsciousness because he ate a Xanax and he was walking along and the Xanax hit him so hard, he went unconscious while he was walking and he fell down and hit his head on the corner of a table and it killed him. So you can die in a state of unconsciousness, falling onto something in that moment of unconsciousness. So I could understand if he was approaching the balcony and the substances hit him in a way that it knocked him out and then he fell. It is a feasible trajectory, but I don't know how likely that sounds. So let me put it to a poll in the chat, because it seems like the media stories are leading towards saying that, and the prosecutor suggesting it. Put a one in the chat if you feel that Liam fell over the balcony in a state of semi or total unconsciousness. Put a two in the chat if you think that foul play has occurred, with foul play including but not limited to some kind of dispute, some kind of sabotage. We know how these guys' musical empires are worth much more money after these people are unalived. Looks like it's about 70-80% twos right now, which leads to us wanting to get into this more in terms of deep dive. And thank you for the super chat. And we've got almost 2,500 in, and we are 20 minutes away from Jaguar Wright and Courtney Burgess round two. And I've learned in recent days that Courtney Burgess that's not even his real name. That's his stage name. He's got a real name, folks. Yeah. But he's got balls coming back to face the fierceness that was unleashed on him last week by Jaguar. All right, before we get to the Trump speech, let me finish this Liam Payne story. So all these new reports come amid confirmation that Liam Payne was flown back to the UK yesterday, with his body finally released to his family. It was held in Argentina while they completed all these tests. Prosecutor said that his body was released to the family on Wednesday. Jeff Payne has been in Argentina paying respects and joining mourners amid the tributes. Thousands of fans across the world gathered in the days and weeks following his passing, with many breaking down in tears. News of his repatriation comes shortly after reports in the Argentine press had claimed the necessary paperwork to allow for his body to return home were complete. His dad was initially warned by investigators that could take up to 15 days. And I believe that his dad is staying in the country while more, because this has gone down this road now, he's not been unalived. So I think his dad's going to be staying in the country. There is another Liam Payne story involving Simon Cowell and the X Factor and all that stuff. If we've got time, I'll come back to it. But I really want to get into this Trump stuff because, you know, I've had this YouTube channel since 2007. when I lost It's Wanks about 2 or 3 years ago, you know, YouTube had taken over my life, and I really appreciate it. I feel blessed to meet such interesting people and have such a fascinating job. And to build that up for so long and then lose it over my Jeffrey coverage twice, and the kindness and love and support of you, our community here, just blew me away, lobbying YouTube to get it back. But you're always walking on eggshells, thinking, am I going to say something wrong again? And am I going to wake up and the channel's gone again? And it's not a nice state to be in. I was shadow banned on Twitter, and it was only when Elon took over that I'm now getting views on Twitter. I'm still shadow banned on Facebook. And we'll get to that. But when I watch Trump say the things I'm about to show you and comment on, I shared it to so many people. It was Ash, the guest booker, who sent this to me. And oh my God, this made my day. You know, I'm an apolitical person. I think that people who rise to the top of politics are psychopaths. But the things that Trump has been saying, if he follows through, folks, because my definition of a politician is someone who will tell the public everything they want to hear to get the votes and then do the complete opposite when they come into power. But Trump is in power and he's saying these things. And if he follows through, we are going to be in a drastically different world, whether it's from withdrawing from the World Health Organization or stopping these horrific things that happen to kids. This agenda to chemically alter children through extreme identity politics. I am on his side on all these issues. And this is the big one for me. The wars. I mean, surely the mass murder of people dropping bombs at the taxpayers' expense on the poorest countries in the world. Wars put into play by Tony Blair and George H.W. Bush and Dick Cheney. People I view as mass murderers and some of the most evil people on the planet. The deaths that are going on to this day, 5 million dead due to the wars on terror. Utter baloney. Can't even spend that money on your own citizens, building up your own countries, taking care of your troops coming home. These evil regimes under the Obama, Bush, Blur, Clinton crime families. If Trump can reverse that, God bless him. Well, let's hear what he says about freedom of speech. And yeah, I've been watching Candace Owens. She's over the target, folks. She's getting shut down, isn't she? That she's been struck once on YouTube. But according to what Donald is about to say, these strikes are going to have to stop. All right, let's play him. Let's play him.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple just like dominoes, one by one. They'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans.
And he's not exaggerating. The road to democracy is the road to tyranny. I think it was Aristotle who said that. And one of the first things they take from you is your speech, as warned by Orwell. And we have seen these people just take control of the social media platforms, the invisible hand, the deep state, and prevent us from saying what we want if it goes against their political interests, their agendas. It's absolutely sickening. So take us off the road to tyranny, Donald. The tiptoe to totalitarianism through the erosion of free speech. Take us off that, please. Give me back my job security.
And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people.
Acknowledging the deep state, folks. What a guy.
They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here,
couldn't agree with you more. Immediately. Stop this censorship now. Come on. How fast can you do this? Get in there.
Here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis or disinformation.
Yes. Finally, this mislabeling of misinformation. Thank you for the super chat, Linda. Go, Donald. Within hours of inauguration. Yes.
And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will...
Don't just fire them. Put them in prison. Please.
Order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified.
Yes, prosecute them. Set an example.
These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law, and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory, and constitutional offenses. To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president.
Can you imagine if Donald gets his hands on all this evidence of this Russiagate nonsense that was concocted against him, who he could possibly prosecute, including the Clinton crime family?
And I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business.
Including YouTube.
From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230 if they meet high standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech.
Yes, lawful speech. You cannot express an opinion. It is an absolute minefield still on some platforms. You cannot express an opinion. That is lawful speech. That is guaranteed under the Constitution. How did we get here? Bush, Clinton, Obama, crime families, Biden. All the same agenda.
Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that...
Straight out of 1984, can you imagine the Department of Misinformation, which comes and crushes anybody who speaks out about anything that goes against the deep state?
Support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections, and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data.
Yes. So I have theorized over and over that one of the problems facing Trump has been the embeds in the three-letter agencies that have just been placed there over the decades. And these people, they're so ingrained in these three-letter agencies, they've created this atmosphere and they just reinforce this deep state agenda. And if anyone comes in and tries to buck that and goes against the grain, these people get made examples of and compromised and kicked out. So if he's going to distance the ability of these people to just parachute from the three-letter agencies, golden parachute, I should say, because they get paid so much, so much. They know there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow when they golden parachute down from the three-letter agencies to these big social media platforms, these big tech companies. And they just get these lavish luxury posts with stock options, and they get embedded there, and they just continue to further this agenda. The only way to stop the rot, create a 7-year gap so they can't just parachute in. They got to do something else. They got to do some real work for once in their lives before they can go to that safety net.
Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed,
right, he's talking about me now, folks, and all my colleagues. Here we go.
Throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use.
I was kicked off YouTube twice. I am shadow banned on Facebook presently. Thanks, Zuck. I only got traction again on Twitter when Elon took over.
They should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of.
They don't tell you it's happening. They don't explain anything.
The reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself.
Right. I just want to go back over this because this is the most important part for what I'm talking about.
Which is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western appeal. In addition, in other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal.
A timely appeal. Okay, good.
In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose.
So if you are an adult YouTuber, you can opt out of censorship, AI strangulation.
The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. By restoring free speech, we'll begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless America.
Wow, absolutely brilliant. Go Donald Trump. Like I said, I'm apolitical. Most politicians promise stuff and then don't ever follow through. But he has been voted in, and he's not saying things now just for the hell of getting votes. The main thing now is, you know, who has he been surrounding himself? There's all kinds of analyses on that he's doing way better than last time. He's not surrounding himself with all of the same swamp monsters. And I think, you know, when you've had multiple assassination attempts against yourself, then it's going to change your perspective on the whole world, isn't it? It's going to change your worldview. So I think he's definitely going to follow through with some of the changes that he's promising here. All right, I'm going to check if we've got our highlight guest for the night in the chat. Got 3,000 watching live. We've got Jaguar Wright and Courtney Burgess coming in. I'm going to see if they are in the studios. Let's have a look. One second, let me... because we are going to customize over to that video next. Get in the home. Let's see. Jaguar Wright versus Courtney round two. Let's see if 5,000, 4,000. Let's see. Yeah. All right. So they're not in studios yet. Let me figure out what's going on here. One second. All right, there, yeah. So I'm just checking now with Ron in the other studio. So, yeah, we got 3,000 watching live. I'm just waiting for our guests to come in. And we're going to customize over to that. Let's see if Shane can give me any updates or if Ron wants to text me any updates and we'll figure out what's going on. So so I'm live, Ron, and I'm live on YouTube right now, but not in the video, not in the studio you're in. I can hear Ron, but you guys probably can't hear him. So I'm in two studios right now. are any of the guests ready to come in, Ron? All right, I'm going to stay live here then. Well, you just let me know. We're trying to get Jaguar in first, and then we're holding off, and we're going to get Courtney in a little bit after Jaguar. All right, thanks. All right, so while I stay live, I shall go back. I'm gonna go back to Liam Payne, the rest of the Liam Payne news. So let me see, where was I? We had rest of the Liam Payne news is Joe Wiley slams X Factor and calls for an end to the cruel reality TV series. And she admits that we all let Liam Payne down before his tragic death. And I think she gets into a bit on Simon Cowell on this one as well. So she said that Joe Wiley believes the music industry must do more to protect vulnerable stars after Liam fell from the third floor of the hotel, and that the reality TV series such as X Factor are cruel, especially to young people. Little Mix star Perry Edwards claimed under 18s shouldn't legally be able to join the music industry. All right, I'm just getting some news on Courtney and Jaguar. So Courtney's going to be coming. Yeah, and Jaguar got stuck in traffic. But she's close. She's close to getting into the live. All right. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be going over to them very soon. Let me just give him a thumbs up on that one. And we're expecting fireworks. Expecting fireworks between these two. And I've learned a lot more about Courtney this week. And Ronnie Bo. Been watching Ronnie Bo. Put one in the chat if you've been watching Ronnie Bo, what he had to say about Jay-Z and R. Kelly. Fascinating stuff. We've reached out to him. All right, so Joe said of Liam Payne, I feel like we all let him down. We all felt we'd let him down. We should always have been looking after the mental health of the musicians. No, they just used them as commodities, unfortunately. He was just 14 when he first auditioned for the X Factor. And 2 years later, he was put into the boy band One Direction by Simon Cowell. And they all became global stars. Joe was... All right, I've just got word Jaguar's going to be on in 3 minutes from Shane. So everything's falling into place. Get ready, folks. In fact, I just heard a beep that may indicate that Jaguar's in. Yep, she's in. She's in. All right, so I'm going to end this stream and we're going to go over to Jaguar. This stream will customize, which means a video will come on your screen. If it doesn't, there's a link at the top of the description box for Jaguar versus Courtney round two. Or just hit the channel icon. Here we go. I'm going to end this one.